I wish it were possible for me to put into the heart of every one of you a great yearning to read and to know your Bibles. How else can we know the purpose and will of God unless we go to the sources which God has given unto us in his blessed word? Now we're studying together the whole New Testament, and we are now in the Gospel through John chapter 8. And here we are dealing with Jesus Christ as the light of the world. We found that this discourse, the light of the world, was preceded by a moral issue, and it is followed by a physical issue. And we found here in from verses 12 down through verse 20, Christ revealed as the light of the world. And then in verses 21 to 36, we have him revealed as the great liberator. He liberates from death, he liberates from slavery, and the ground for the liberation is the cross, and that true discipleship leads to freedom, and this freedom is a real freedom. Now in verses 37 to 51, we come to the third claim of Christ in this passage. Let me repeat them again. He claims to be the light of the world. Not to follow him means to walk in darkness. The second claim, he's the great liberator from death and from sin based upon the work of the cross. The third thing, he claims to be the sinless one from verse 37 to 51. And you'll notice in this passage from verse 37 to 51 that our Savior is dealing with two families. There are two families brought before us. They said that God was their father. They said, first of all, that Abraham was their father. And he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You do the works of your father. And they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Notice their claims now. They claimed that Abraham was their father. They claimed that God was their father. And Jesus said, God, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God. Why don't you understand me? Why don't you believe my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a lie in the father of it. He's talking about the devil. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Please notice, Jesus Christ did not believe in the common fatherhood of God and the common brotherhood of man. I know there's a sense in which all men are of one blood, as Acts chapter 17 declares. But Jesus Christ here is very frankly declaring that there are two families. There's the family where God is recognized as our Father and Lord and Savior. There's a second family which is desirous of sin and is controlled and dominated by Satan. You remember our Savior could say three times in this very gospel through John, the prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me. Who's that? That's the devil. See, you have in chapter 12, now is the prince of this world judged. In John chapter 16, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. In the book of Corinthians chapter 4, the fourth verse, the second book, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. Who is that? The devil. You have in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where it speaks of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In the third chapter of 1 John, the Apostle John in that epistle informs us, in this is manifested the children of the devil. Righteousness will characterize the children of God, and sin will characterize the children of the devil. This is what you have in the epistle of John. There's no question in the New Testament that God never recognizes one family. I say again, by creation, we're all made of one blood. But rebellion came in, and sin has been rampant through the centuries, and man hasn't wanted God. And now God today is gathering out a people for his name called the church, and these are the people of God. And Jesus here is very explicit on this question concerning whom they follow. You are of your father, the devil, and his works you do. Then comes the great claim in verse 46, which one of you convicteth me of sin? And their answer was in verse 48, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and you're demon possessed? Now let's look at this for a moment. Here is a claim that nobody in the world would ever want to make. Jesus said, which one of you convinceth me of sin? Which one of you can find any sin in me? Now, he didn't say this to his friends. He said this to his enemies. I know what you would say to me if I were to stand up where you are and say, sir, I challenge you to find any sin in me or anybody else. You would think I was loco, something was wrong with me. You'd call me a liar or some other word. But Jesus said this to his enemies, which one of you convinceth me of sin? Their answer was, you're a Samaritan and you're demon-possessed. You see, they have to say something. They've got to recognize his holy character. They could not find one flaw in his character. And believe me, my friends, if these Jews could have found one flaw in the character of our Savior, they would have pounced on that like a pack of hungry wolves. And when he challenged them, he knew that they couldn't find any sin in him. It is true that the disciples wrote of him that he was tempted in all points as we are without sin. The Apostle Paul said he knew no sin. The Apostle James said, the Apostle John, pardon me, said, in him is no sin. And the Apostle Peter said he did no sin. Can I repeat those? Remember the issue. Which one of you convinceth me of sin? Paul could write in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he did no sin. The writer of Hebrews chapter 4:15, he's without sin. The Apostle Peter in chapter 2 of 1 Peter 22, he did no sin. And the Apostle John in chapter 3 of the Epistle, chapter 3, verse 5, ye know he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. In him is no sin. He's without sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. Which one of you convicteth me of sin? He's the sinless one. And the only reason he could die was because he had to bear somebody else's sin. That's your sin and my sin. And he put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now they claim that now he's a devil. And you go on down to the end of the chapter, the great claims now. From verse 52 to the end of the passage, he makes two great claims. Look at it, please. If a man keep my saying, you'll never see death. Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Whom do you think you are? The prophets are dead, Abraham is dead. What do you make of yourself? This is a terrific statement you're making. And Jesus said, if I honor myself, doesn't mean much. It's my Father that honors me, of whom ye say is your God. But if you had known him, you wouldn't have, you would have accepted me. But I know him and I keep his word. Your father, verse 56, notice it, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Thou art not yet 50 years of age, and hast thou seen Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. Now notice the two claims. Abraham's God was El Shaddai. You find that in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, the first verse. when God appeared unto Abraham and said, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be thou perfect. By my name Jehovah I was not known to your fathers, God said to Moses, but by my name El Shaddai. Jesus Christ here is claiming that he was Abraham's God, the El Shaddai. And they said to him, you're not yet 50 years of age, and hast thou seen Abraham? Now his second claim to this, before Abraham was, I am. I am the eternal God. And the reaction was, they picked up stones to kill him. But look at the chapter. He's the light of the world. He's the great liberator from death, from sin, from bondage. He's the sinless one. He's the El Shaddai. He's the pre-existent one. He's the eternal one. Friend, what shall they do? If they accept his claims, they must fall down and worship the God of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Or they must reject his person and his claims and kill him. And I read here that they took up stones to cast at him. They tried to kill him. Why? In their minds, he was a blasphemer. He claimed to be God. Now, I've had people tell me that Jesus Christ never claimed to be God, that he was a wonderful leader and a wonderful teacher and very spiritual, but he did not claim to be God. I'd like to know what you make of this. I am the light of the world. God is light. Who else dare make such a claim but God? Man is in darkness. Man's in sin. Man needs a Savior. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and to follow me means light. Not to follow me means darkness. I'm the great deliverer from death. I'm the deliverer from sin and bondage. I'm the sinless one. I'm the El Shaddai. I'm the eternal one. This is what he is claiming. There's only one thing to do. Worship him. Do you, my friend? Why not fall down and worship him as your Savior and as your Lord? And let me encourage you. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come just as you are, with all your frailty and your sin and your weaknesses, and just come with an open heart to him. Don't try to be better or try to be religious. Just you receive him as your own personal Savior, and you'll experience emancipation. And God grant it may be yours today.